Good morning, everyone. I greet you this morning in the precious name of Jesus. As I was listening to you singing, it blessed my heart that Christ is all. You folks have no idea what a privilege it is to serve the Lord. I passed Reading High yesterday, and at dismissal time, it becomes a traffic jam because there's hundreds and hundreds of youth coming out of there. And you know what they look like? They look like a total disaster. They really do. They do not know what Jesus is. So I was sitting there in the traffic jam with both sides of the street was 50, 60, 70, I didn't count them. But a fight developed right where I was. And, I mean, they had hit each other. I can't see that they didn't flip over. Right here, they hit. And then a bunch of guys jumped in on it. I said, Lord, get me out of here. Because I wasn't sure, you know, if they're going to start throwing bricks or whatever they get their hands on. But I think you folks are so fortunate to be able to sit here under the sound of the gospel and how to become better Christians. So, thank the Lord for your backgrounds, and not all of the backgrounds are from maybe a Christian background, but just the fact that you are here is the fact that Jesus loves you. I've entitled my message this morning, Is It Approved by God? Is it approved by God? What's my message? What's the title of my message? Come on. What is my message on? Amen. It's approved by God. It's very sad for a speaker. The experts tell us that you will only remember about 10% of what I say. You're going to forget everything else I said. Next year, this time, you won't even know who that I was here. They say, who was here last year? And you're fortunate if you're going to remember. What's the title of my message?
Is it approved by
God? Okay, now don't forget that. If you forget everything else I said, okay, that's the 10% or so that I want you to remember. So that's what we want to look at this morning. We want to check to make sure that it's approved by God in all of life, all that we do. It's very, very important that we are approved of God. All your activities, everything, are you approved what you're doing? Are you approved by God? Why is it so serious? I'll tell you why it's serious, folks, young folks. You know what? The Lord is coming back, and I believe that He's coming back soon. Now, we don't know if soon is next week or a year from now, but one thing we know that we're closer and closer to the return of the Lord. And when you stand before God, you are going to give an account of every action, every word, every thought. You are going to confess before God. If you are a born-again, Bible-believing Christian, okay, our sins are going to be washed away, and we are going to come to the judgment. The songwriter, you probably heard this song already. I don't know if I agree with everything, but the songwriter wrote this. I dreamed that the great judgment morning had dawned and the trumpet had blown. Well, folks, one of these days the trumpet is going to sound, and when that trumpet sounds, there'll be no more. That's it. You have that opportunity. I dreamed that the nations have gathered. Oh, today, folks, nations are in a mess. We are really in a mess. I had the news on coming here in my car, and this thing of homosexuality and girls marrying girls, and I'll tell you, folks, we live in a sick world. Again, I want to say, what's my message? Okay, is it approved by God? I dream that the nations have gathered to judgment before the white throne. From the throne came a bright shining angel and stood on the land and the sea and swore with his hands raised to heaven that time was no longer to be. The rich man was there, but his money had melted and vanished away. A pauper, he stood in the judgment. His debts were too heavy to pay. The widow was there with the orphans. God heard and remembered their cry. No sorrow in heaven forever. God wiped all the tears from their eyes. The gambler was there and the drunkard and the man that sold them the drink and the angel and, with the people who gave them the license to hell. Together in hell did they sink. The moral man, he came to the judgment, but his self-righteous rags would not do. The man who had crucified Jesus had passed off as moral men too. The soul that had put off salvation, not tonight, I'll get saved by and by. No time now to think of religion. At last they have time, found time to die. And what a weeping and wailing when the lost are told of their fate. They cried for the rocks and the mountains. They prayed, but their prayer was too late. You know, hell wouldn't be so bad, folks, if you'd go to hell and you'd burn for a couple hours. We had a young man in our congregation, and he lit himself. He poured gas over his body and lit himself and walked over in his sister's classroom, a bedroom, in the middle of the night. He was burning all over, and he was yelling and crying out, "The devil made me do it! The devil made me do it!" I got a call to go there, and I met him at the hospital. And I'll tell you, if you ever are in pain, it's when you get burned. Okay, it's a terrible thing. You know what, folks? Hell is not for a week. It's not for a month. It's not for a year. It's not for 10,000 years. It's not for a million. When you go to hell, you are there for billions and billions and billions of years. I'll tell you, that makes life very, very serious. I tell people there in the city of Reading, you either bow now or you bow later. You will bow before God. The second fight I was at yesterday was Friday. I have some houses that I rent, and I came to this one house, and the boyfriend and the girl were in a vicious fight. They were pushing each other around, yelling at each other, saying they're going to call the police, and I just stood there in the middle of it all. You know, young folks, you have the answer in Jesus Christ. In our world today, they really need you. They need you as a shining light. And so we're going to check just a little bit. Is it approved by God? And I want to, first of all, I want you to open your Bibles to Exodus chapter 32. Exodus chapter 32. Take a quick look at this chapter here for a little bit. Where Moses delayed his coming, and it says that they gathered themselves together and up they got and made gods. Shall we go make us gods? Because Moses did not come down off the mountain when he thought he ought to be coming down. You know, I really thought the Lord's going to come long already. I really did. It almost seems to me like the Lord is delaying His coming, but He's not. He has a time that He's going to be coming. The day is set. When Moses went up to meet God, when he was up there, it says in verse 8. Well, it don't matter right what verse it is, but it says that they fell away. Oh, here it is, verse 8, yeah. They had turned aside quickly out of the way. Quickly. Can you imagine how soon they fell away from God? You know what? You can fall away from God overnight. get caught in some kind of sin, we can fall overnight. We have no promise of that. So we want to make sure that we are not going to fall away from the Lord. So we want to make sure everything is approved by God. Okay? We want to look at that. Now, verse 2, this just sounds like today, and though I don't understand it all, and Aaron said unto them, break off the golden earrings. A lot of people wear earrings. I remember when the guys just started wearing earrings, okay? I said, boy, it won't be long. That'll be in the church. Back there, I was thinking, guys? Guys? Having earrings? You got to be kidding. Now, a lot of guys have earrings. Let's see who else has earrings here. Your wives. Now, my wife never had earrings, okay? We have some girls in our school that as soon as they're out of school, they put on their earrings, okay? They're trying to find themselves, all right? So we try to help them find themselves. Golden earrings, which are the ears of your wives and of your sons. So back there, the guys wore earrings already. So it's nothing new. But I hope you guys never wear earrings. The only reason you wear earrings is you're trying to be somebody that you're not, okay? So don't even think, I want to encourage you guys, stay away from earrings. Your earrings for your sons and the daughters, and bring them unto me. Take all your jewelry off. If I say to you here this morning, every one of you now take your jewelry off, okay, and hand it in. Maybe you have some on. I didn't see anybody has it on. And I'm not saying you're going to hell if you have them on. But there's room for growth. Okay? So in your verse 3 says, and all the people break off their golden earrings which were in their ears and brought them unto Aaron. And he received them at their hand and fashioned it with graving tools after he had made it a molten calf. Okay, they get all their earrings together and from everyone, and they make themselves, as it said here, we are going to make a molten calf. Verse 5, and when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it, and Aaron made proclamation and said, tomorrow is the feast of the Lord. You know, they want to mix the both. They want to mix the world, and they want to mix the church, okay? And so he's trying to mix them here. But I want to tell you, no man can serve two masters. No man. You can't do it. Okay? You might try it, but you cannot serve two masters. You're going to love or hate. And I just want to encourage you to love and to do all you can. You cannot do both. Verse 6 says, and they rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings. And the people sat down to eat, to drink, and to play. Now, is there anything wrong with that? Eating, drinking, and playing? Well, they were trying to mix the two. And verse 8 again, they have turned aside quickly out of the way. How fast can you fall? Quickly. Do you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? Do you really love Him? Do you really know who God is? Honest confession here. How many of you guys were stopped by a policeman? Woo! How many girls? Less. What does that mean, guys? When you were stopped, were you at all tempted to grab... Is your name John? If I grabbed John, said, John, don't you ever stop me again. Why don't you do it? Why don't you tell the officer off good and proper?
He's my minister to me for good.
He's your minister, and you know who he is, and you know the authority that he has. Okay? You know if you get mean... I was stopped, I have to confess to it. I was on the way to revival meetings. And I was going up 61, and didn't I get caught by state police? And he says, "Where are you going?" "Oh, no, no." I was a bit naughty. I laid my Bible open the dash. I should have put it under the seat instead. And he said, "Where are you going?" Well, I said, "I'm a preacher, and I'm going to preach a revival meeting." So we had a little discussion. I said, "Okay," he said, "I'm going to let you go." But he said, "I'll be sitting here some more this week. So slow down." Okay, the reason, you know, an officer, I respect them. I talk as nice as I can, but maybe he'll let me go. But we know who he is. We know the authority that he carries. And we don't even think of getting out of the car and grabbing him by the tie and say, "Look, boy." No, because I know that if I would do that, where would I land up? In his car, in the back, sitting like this. Okay, because I know that. Folks, do you really know who God is? Can we push God around? No, you can't. The devil makes you believe you can. Yeah, you don't have to obey your parents. I want to tell you what, if you are here, and you are disobedient to your parents, I'll tell you what, you're in trouble with God. If you think of hitting your parent, you ever hit your parent? I never did, never tried it. But if you hit your parent, you're in big trouble with God. So what you want to do is to do what God, knowing who God really is, and you want to be a Christian and be a shining light in the world today. But here they are. I'm going to come back to Exodus chapter 32 again. And now Joshua comes on the scene. And verse 17, "And when Joshua heard the noise of the people, as they shouted, he said unto Moses, 'There is a noise of war in the camp.'" Whoa! What? There's a war in the camp? What is going on? Verse 18, "And he said, 'Is it not the voice of them that shout for masteries? Neither is it the voice of them that cry for being overcome, but the noise of them that sing do I hear.'" Now Moses and God, it's good they didn't both get angry at the same time, but you know how Moses and God got the Ten Commandments or whatever they were, and knocked them on the, broke them to pieces and burned them up and everything. What does God see in your camp? Okay. Is it approved by God? Are you ready for war? Will your anchor hold? We took our school. I don't promote going to movies. I don't go to movies. But you can go like Philadelphia or Reading, and they have a special movie that they show. And this one that we went to see was on tornadoes. Okay, there's nothing wrong with it. There's guys that chase tornadoes. I see a tornado, I want to get out of its way. So here they are. They have this vehicle. That's about, as far as here to the wall, wide. And this is what they chase them, okay? They chase them, and they want to get right in the path. And so here they go. They chase them, and took them a long time till finally they found themselves in the middle of a tornado. And they can set up their vehicle in seconds. Their anchor goes down and they can sit there and they can be safe. Many homes today, folks, homes today are wrecked. You might be from a wrecked home, okay? One that was tore apart. There in the city of Reading, in my area, you can hardly find a husband and a wife and children. It's almost impossible. The tornado came in, folks. The house was built on the sand. And when the tornado come, it just blew the house over. The house was built on the sand. Is your house built on the rock? Are you ready for a war? Is your calling and election sure? Do you know for sure that you're born again? Can you say, I know I'm born again. I'm making my calling, and my calling is to serve the Lord. My calling is to live in the city of Reading. God called me for a number of different things. Make your calling, but the most important calling is Jesus. Having given your heart over to the Lord, make it sure that you're born again. I tell you what, you don't want to miss heaven and go to hell and be there, as I said, forever and ever. You want to make sure that you are born again, that the Lord Jesus is in your heart and you're serving the Lord. Now remember, the Bible says in the last days there's going to be a great falling away of the faith. So we are living in a time when people are deceived. Teenagers are deceived. They think they can do certain things. They think they can disobey their parents. They think they can disobey the law. They think they can disobey. They can do what they want to do. I had a girl in the room, and she was a troubled teenage girl. She said to me, "Nobody's going to tell me what to do. No preacher, no parent." She said, "I'll do what I want to do." You think she was happy then? No, she wasn't very happy. You know what she did? She got a shotgun and put it to her head and blew her head apart. You know, when you don't want authority, young folks appreciate authority. They are there for your good. Make your calling, make your election sure. Are you ready for a war? Going to 1 Timothy 1:9. Says this, 1:19, hold faith and a good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith have made shipwreck. Don't make shipwreck. Don't be in a, I'll tell you what, folks, make sure your ship is on course. I like water to drink and the necessary things. Okay, but I really don't like too much boating. My son-in-law had a boat, and he was taking people out on the bay, down at Delaware, on the bay. I really didn't want to go, but I didn't want to act like a chicken either. So I thought, well, I guess I'll go with him. And I got on this boat and go out on the bay, and the very thing that I thought would happen happened. The thing quit. Okay? There we were, out in the middle of the bay. Brrr! Brrr! I said, "Lord, please, get me to shore and I'll promise you I'll never come out here again." And now there's a thunderstorm coming up. Okay? The thunderstorm was in the west. And the ocean was out here in the east. And I thought, boy, was I ever scared. I could just see that water, that ocean. I could just see us going out there in the middle of the ocean somewhere, never to come back again. But you know what? Finally, he got the motor going. I tell you, folks, it's a miserable feeling when your boat, the motor quits. When the Holy Spirit stops working in your life, okay? Oh, it's not mine. Yeah, okay. Make sure, as it says here in Timothy, holding fast, hold on to your faith, a good conscience, which having put away according concerning faith, have made shipwreck. Don't make shipwreck of your faith. Are you fully armed? Do you know who God is? As I mentioned, are you feeding the lambs and the sheep? Are your priorities straight? Are you filled with the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost? Are you settled in the faith? Well, this is what we want to look at this morning on a number of these things to make sure that we are not building that we're building on the rock of Jesus Christ, and that we are serving the Lord with all our hearts. And so we want to visit your city. We want to visit your tower and see what God is doing in your life. Okay. Help us. We want God to do all He can in our lives. And we want to check some things in your life to see how you're doing. The first one we're going to look at is your heart. Okay? Check your heart. Is the blood of Jesus Christ cleansing your heart? Okay? A heart that loves God. To love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength, and your neighbor as yourself. When I see the blood, He says, I will pass over you. Make sure that you have a heart that you love the Lord. How is your personal relationship with Jesus Christ? Okay? Do you enjoy meeting with Him? Do you enjoy reading the Bible? Do you enjoy praying? What does the Bible say? When you pray, what should you do? You're to go into the closet. You know what, folks? There's a lot of our people can't get into the closet. You know why? There's hockey sticks there. There's baseball bats there. There's ladies' shoes there. The closet is full. Okay? You want to empty the closet, and you go into the closet, and what do? After you're in the closet, do you take your cell phone with you? I made sure mine wasn't in my pocket, but Yeah. Do you take your cell phone with you when you go in your closet with God? No. Leave your cell phone out. Go into that closet. Now, I'm not one who believes in charismatic. I'm not a charismatic. I do not speak in tongues. But you know what? God has so much more to reveal to you and I than what He has revealed to us. Will He show us new things if we already don't do what we know we should do? So you go into the closet and you shut the door. Okay? And in that closet is you and God alone. And I'll tell you, that is a wonderful experience to be in the closet. So go home today, empty your so-called closet, maybe it's your bedroom, but go into your closet, you and God, and you know what? When you come out of that closet, you are going to have new revelations. Isn't that wonderful? God is going to show you. My wife and I are really close. She knows just about everything about me. I know just about everything about her. I know that. Okay? And so, we really share. And I don't say, oh, must you talk to your girlfriend today? Must you talk to your, You know what? When you love someone, you'll want to share. You go in that closet, and you come out of that closet, you share it with God, you're going to come out of that closet praising and saying hallelujah, and the Lord is really going to want to touch you. So your heart, is your heart right with God? We want to check our faith, which we looked at just shortly about the shipwreck. We don't want to shipwreck our faith. You want to check the water temperature. Okay? Is it hot or is it cold? I was coming down again 61. No police officer involved in this. I was coming down 61 and beep! A buzzer goes off and I look at my dash and oh, my heat gauge is up against hot. I said, well, I'm going to ruin the engine. I'm pulling over. Are you hot for the Lord? Do you really love the Lord? Out of His belly shall flow rivers of living water. So check your water. Make sure that you're not lukewarm. God is not satisfied unless you give Him everything. He will not settle for a lukewarm Christian. Is there something like a lukewarm Christian. There's baby Christians. There's mature Christians. But if you're going to grow as a Christian, you have to check your water and make sure you're drinking of that living water and not lukewarm, not out of a cistern. You want to make sure that you are doing what God truly wants you to do. I want to get my one paper here that I'm looking for. Okay, the next one that we want to check out is your hearing. I have two hearing aids in. One here and one here. And you know how much these hearing aids cost me so I could hear properly? Maybe we can have an offering after this for my hearing aids. No. $10,000. $10,000 for a hearing aid here and a hearing aid here. My wife said that I was shaking my head, saying like I agreed to it, and she knew I wasn't agreeing. I was not hearing correctly, okay? So I invested $10,000 so that I could hear correctly. So we want to make sure that we hear, and I'm going to go to Hebrews chapter 5, verse 10, and this is what it says here. Hebrews 5, verse 10. Call of God and high priest after the order of Melchizedek, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing you are dull of hearing. I was dull of hearing. Okay? And so I was just at the hearing man this week. He's checking to make sure everything is going, that I'm hearing correctly. And they take you to this class. Okay? And in this class, they have about 10 people talking at one time. And I'm supposed to pick out the most prominent one that I hear and listen and see if I can follow that lady through the whole process of me hearing right. And I never could follow the lady. But we want to make sure, folks, that you're hearing right. I'll tell you, there's a lot of false prophets out there. There's a lot of liars out there. Oh, people lie today. Aye, aye, aye. Their hearing is so bad. They lie so much. I already told a lady that I was running to. I said, what's the lie for the day? And people just lie. Don't get caught up in lying. Make sure that you are hearing right. We have many things to say, but they're not hearing. Okay? How can some people say, for instance, God spoke to me and ladies, you're going to drop your veil. God spoke to you and you're listening to a false prophet. If you lay aside your veil, okay? You lay aside your veil, I want to tell you something. Don't say that God led you to do it. Because you're in big enough trouble, Rob. It would be better if you get up on a Sunday morning and get people's attention and say, look, I'm going to start sinning. I'm tired of wearing the veil. I'm sick of it. I'm not going to do it anymore. It'd be much better if you do that than to say, oh, God led me to do that. God never leaves you. Jesus never leads you, contrary to the Scriptures. So you want to make sure that you are speaking the truth. Check your hearing. Verse 12, For the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. Okay? You want to make sure that you're just not drinking milk, but that you're eating good, strong, good meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a baby. Okay? What do babies do when they want milk? They do a lot of crying. You know, a lot of people in the churches today, when there's trouble, you know what the problem is?
they're drinking milk and not eating meat. And once you get a whole bunch of babies crying, it becomes very annoying. 14 says, but strong meat belongeth to them that are full age. I believe that you folks got strong meat this week. You got good, solid teaching. You're going to go away here knowing that you are growing in the Lord. And so you want to make sure that you're not dull of hearing, that you're eating proper meat. Now, another thing that we wanted to check is check your eyes. I tell you, I have so many things kind of wrong with me. My eyes. Again, I have to spend a whole... Unbelievable. I think it's a racket, okay? But I spend a couple $100 for these glasses so I could see. I want to see right, okay? I want to hear right. I want to make sure my water is hot. I want to make sure of all these things. Lot lifted up his eyes, looked across and said, boy, between him and Abraham, Lot chose to go one way, while Abraham then went the other way. Lifting up our eyes. Girls, I'm happy to see that you're modest. You know how a guy's wired? They ever tell you how a guy's wired? When you dress immodest, you're setting them up to sin. And I want to tell you what, it's a very, very serious thing to do that. I have to tell you, you're not going to make it to heaven. You're going to dress immodest, you go against your parents' rules, you go against the church rules, you're going to do what you feel like doing. Guys, I want to tell you something. When a woman, a girl, dresses immodest, that's the last person in the world you want to go with. I'm telling you. She's going to pull you down. Be modest. The girls in the city, we have a school there in the city of 160-some students. And the nun and Anabaptist girls say, why do you wear that weird clothing? Why do your people wear that weird clothing anyhow? Well, what they don't understand it, okay? Your weird clothing. But I want to encourage you, young ladies, dress modest. You will not get away with it. At the great judgment that I read at the beginning, the great judgment morning, guys, you dress modest. Don't go to... See, our girls, okay, I'll tell you what makes a bunch of weak guys, okay, in case you didn't know it. Girls, they have to identify themselves as Christians all the time. They do. You go to the mall, you're identified as a Christian. Just by what you have on, your clothing. So you identify yourself as a Christian. Guys, you can totally get away with that. You can go to the mall and walk and look at the things you all want to look at. You can do all these things, guys, and you can get away with it. They don't know you're a Christian. By the way you wear your hair, by the clothing that you wear. Guys, take leadership. Take leadership. Girls, dress modest. If you look up to a woman and you lust after her, you commit adultery. Girls, I tell you, encourage you to keep doing what you're doing, okay? All right, let's see if there's anything else. We're going to check your oil. Okay? The 10 virgins. Five of them ran out of oil. And they had no oil. I had two lawnmowers. One was an old wreck of a mower. And I wouldn't put oil in until it started hammering. And I knew it was high time to put oil in the engine. Okay. But I had another lawnmower that I liked. And I would check that oil before I would start the mower. I didn't want to ruin the engine. The other I didn't care about. If it quit or if it didn't quit. And it quit, no, it's not working anymore. Check your oil. A lot of people run out of oil because the day of the Lord is approaching. They're running out of oil. Turn to the right source and make sure. The Good Samaritan, when the Good Samaritan seen this guy, the priest, first of all, walked past the guy and says he went aside to the other side of the road. He didn't stop and speak to the man who needed help. You know why? Because he was out of oil. When you're out of oil, folks, you don't do what God wants you to do. Check your oil. Make sure there's salt. You are the salt of the earth. Make sure that you have salt. Check your friends. Okay? Birds of the feather flock together. I've been a principal. I'm retired now. But I've been a principal for 30-some years. And it's so amazing how a rebellious person comes into your school, how soon it don't take them long to find the other rebellious person. My boys, my family, we grew up in the city. My wife and I was about 21 when we moved to the city. And people thought we were crazy for living in the city. You know, raising a family in the city, that's hardly, not sure you should do that. Well, you know what? I was more fearful of losing my boys and my daughters because of the church than I was because of living in the city. My boys would go out and play basketball with the city guys. I didn't fear. I feared the guy that is sitting in the pew that's rebellious. And that guy, I tell you girls, when a guy is good looking, he drives a nice car, he's talented, he can sing, he has black curly hair, and he has all these things. I'm looking for curly hair. No. That guy, they're pointing to you. That guy has tremendous amount of power. He really does. He, like I say, he has a tremendous amount of power. And that's the guy, I'm not talking to you now, Michael. That's the guy you want to watch, okay? The guy that's good looking. You take another guy, he's good looking too. Let's say he's good looking too. And he is a good singer. And he loves the Lord. He has a tremendous amount of power. I'm saying, guys, be that kind of a guy that can be a tremendous power in your youth group, the young people. So watch your friends very, very closely. Check your lights. Now this involves a policeman with me. I pull out of Turkey Hill, and there in the city, it's kind of light, you know. I pull out of Turkey Hill and forgot to put my lights on. And I got pulled over. I thought, now what did this cop want? What did I do wrong, man? He says, you know why I stopped you? No. You don't have your lights on. Ooh. Okay. Folks, you have your light on. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Lights. Living in a city, I like to let my light shine for Jesus. All through the years, many, many years, we had young teenagers living with us, okay? My wife and I took young people in, and some we were able to help and some we weren't. But this one girl, hey, you guys, you get girls fighting and you're in trouble. Guys throw a couple punches, and then it's over. Girls, you can hold a grudge for a long time. Shouldn't do that. That's wrong. Forgive and go on, okay? We had this one girl in our home, and she laid a note on my belt on the dresser and said, "Give me what I deserve or you're going to be sorry." She said to me, "You're going to be sorry." I said, boy. And I said, I can't paddle you. I'd get in trouble because you're our foster daughter. She's about 16, 17, 18 at this time. I said, "I can't do that." She'd stare me in the eye. She said, "You give me what I deserve or you're going to be sorry." Okay. Was I still going to let my light shine? I had one guy tell me, he said, "If you name the name of Jesus one more time, you don't name his name no more." I go, "Whoa, am I going to let my light shine?" This guy knew karate. He could, a couple of chops and I could have been gone. You know? And I knew it. And this guy was demon possessed. He'd walk around the table in the middle of the night. Was I going to let my light shine? Oh, man. Finally, he slammed the door, went out the door, slammed the door, went down the road and wrapped his car around a tree. "Let your light shine, folks." Coming back to my daughter, foster daughter, she said to me, "Give me what I deserve or you're going to be sorry." I knew that she slept with a knife under her pillow. Nights before I would go to bed, I would stack up bottles in front of the door so that if she comes through in the middle of the night, the bottles are going to crash and I'm going to jump up to save my wife. Yeah. And to save myself. Okay. Well, anyhow, she said, "Give me what I deserve or you're going to be sorry." I said, "Sandy, I can't. I can't whip you." Well, I knew it was probably either her die or me die. And I knew what she needed, but I knew I couldn't give it. But I decided, she ripped out her pen and gave me written permission to paddle her. You know how that would have held up in the courts. So I knew, well, that's what I'm going to do. We're going to go back in her. My wife went with me, went back in her bedroom, and she said to me, "How do you want me?" I said, "Well, bend over the bed." And remember, this was a rebellious teenager who really needed the Lord Jesus. And so we go back in our bedroom, and I take my belt and I fold up my belt in half, realizing that either I die or she dies. Okay, so I went, I'm going to whip her until she cries. And all of a sudden, she jumped up and threw her arms around me. And she said, "Now I know that you love me." I thought, "That's that easy. We'll go another round sometime." but you know, she got stubborn. Girls, don't ever get stubborn. I couldn't quite open my house door. We had a little trouble with the knob, okay? And she said, "If you don't fix that," she said, "I'm going in and out of the window." Yeah. So the window was about that high that she'd had to jump out. And instead of going through the door, she started going in and out of the window. Just to be stubborn, girls. Girls, don't be stubborn. Let your light shine. We've got to let our light shine for the Lord Jesus. Well, making a long story short, with this girl, she was going somewhere. She was in college now. She was going somewhere. And I wrote a little note saying what I observed in her life. Years ago, we didn't have to teach about this. Okay? But she became a lesbian. And I saw other college girls coming in and sitting on, you know, girls do that, guys. They kind of sit in each other's lap sometimes. But it's a dangerous thing to do it now because, you know. So anyhow, she, years later, I'll get off this from her. Years later, that knife that she had under her pillow, she used on another girl and killed her. Let your light shine, folks. Our world is so dark. It's so dark. About 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, a policeman came down there to school to pick me up, not to take me to jail. Picked me up and said, "We have your house surrounded. And we want you to go and open up the door." He said, "Me? The house is surrounded with police officers, and this guy is inside." So again, I want to let my light shine to everybody. I got up there, and 8 officers were there, 2 with their shields, and about 3-4 with their guns pointed at the house. I said, "Oh, brother, you know, they want me to..." You know what? It's really exciting to be in the Lord's will. to see Him working in your life. I was only shot once. I went out to the dumpster to dump trash in the dumpster, and all of a sudden I thought a yellow jacket got me, and I thought, I'm going to get that yellow jacket. And I was looking around, and I pulled my hand front, and it was bloody. I said, I believe I was shot. You know. And so I go into my wife, I was down to school, and went through my coat, went through my shirt, my undershirt, into my skin, and here was a pellet gun. Okay? I never knew they were so powerful. But I tell you, folks, God needs us in this dark, dark world. He needs you so bad to be a shining light for the Lord. Let your light shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So, we want to live for the Lord. We want to let our light shine. Now we'd like to check your soil yet. You have good soil. You can leave this place and totally, whatever was said, you can go and forget. You're not going to go. I would encourage you. We have an ACE school in Reading where we set goals. Okay, and for me, I get much more done when I set goals. And I say, this is what I'm going to do. So I would encourage you not to go ACE. I'm not that. But I'm saying, do that. Set goals. Make sure your soil is good. And, you know, the good soil, it's so amazing. I love to sow seed. I really do. That's one reason I live in the city of Reading, is to sow seed into the hearts and lives of little children. So we want the fertile soil, really, is children. Okay, invest in children. Don't say, "Well, we're doing child evangelism." Anabaptist people love that. Work with children; their hearts are so fertile, and you can really get a lot done for the Lord with them. Okay, your sports. Is your sports? Is it approved by God? Now, living up in the city, my boys became very athletic. I don't know if they got it from my wife, I guess. Is sports, is it approved by God? I can really get involved in watching sports. I'll be very honest with you. That's something I have to battle with. I'll be honest. Today, a lot of Anabaptist schools are getting together from Maryland, Delaware, Pennsylvania, New York, and they have a basketball tournament. Okay. Is sports wrong? No. If you stay home from prayer meeting to watch a football game, is it wrong? Huh? Probably. At least you're on the right track. If sports comes ahead of your relationship with the Lord. I grew up in a... My parents were very godly parents. They really loved the Lord. And then we, living in the city, wanted to pass our faith on to my family and to my grandchildren. And sports... sports is not wrong, folks. Okay? But if you stay home and you put sports first, sports is more important to you than the Lord, then it is wrong. So, is your sports approved by God? Do you get involved in... I could really get involved in baseball, you know, and stuff like that. But I ask the Lord to keep me and deliver me. All right, another one. Is your speech approved by God? Is it approved by God? Make sure it is. The books you read, is it approved by God? You go and make sure. You go to God and say, God, do you approve of this? Do you approve of my sports? Do you approve of my speech? Do you approve? How about your music? Can you serve two masters? No. Today, living in the city, I mean, music is just horrible. I even hear it above the lawnmower, and since I'm somewhat musically inclined, it don't take me too long to get in the beat. Okay? And I don't want to. Cars that pull up alongside of you, it happens anywhere, you hear that boom, 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 boom. I go, is your life, is it approved by God, your music? Your dress. You know what gets a preacher in the biggest trouble? Not prophecy. You know what gets a preacher in the biggest trouble? When he preaches on dress. When I preach on dress, I know I'm in trouble. Make sure it's approved by God. Modern technology. Is your modern technology approved by God? When I was a teenager, they used to say within a half an hour you can go get about anything you want. I lived in the Effort area before we moved to the city. You could go just about anywhere and within a couple miles. Now, folks, now, just on the palm of your hand. And there's a lot of teenagers today that are... We have a man in our congregation who met another woman over the internet. All the evil. I'm telling you, folks. And the closer that we get to the return of the Lord, the more difficult it's going to be a Christian. When is the church going to say, this is it? We can't do this anymore. Make sure. I forgot what time I started. Okay. I think I'll come to a close here. Is your life approved by God? The things that you do, make sure you go to God and say, God, in all of life, it's so amazing. God is really interested in you. He really is. You're not some foreign object out there, but God wants you. He loves you. He wants to help you. He's not making things mean for you. I picture my God as a loving God, one who really loves me. And like I say, He's not there with a sledgehammer to hit you over the head as soon as you do something wrong. But He's there to convict you. When I do something wrong, the devil condemns. He says, oh, you're not a Christian. Just look what you did. You're not a Christian. Uh-uh. You are a Christian. You know, sometimes we Christians sin. We do. I'll tell you what, if it wouldn't be for the grace of God, I wouldn't be here. If it wouldn't be for His mercy, I would not be here. So we want to make sure that we are live a life that is approved by God. We want to, as Moses was lifted up in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. I just want to encourage you folks, lift up the name of Jesus. Tell people about the Lord. I'll give you this story and then I'll quit. I have a book of things that happened to me lately. I totaled a couple of my cars in the last year, okay? And now the insurance company comes and jacks up my insurance. Well, anyhow, I promised the Lord that I would witness to Him once a week. At least once a week. That's just once a week. Okay? Saturday night, it was late. I was coming home, sitting at a red light thinking, you know what? I didn't tell anybody about Jesus this week, I don't believe. Now what am I going to do? I was sitting at a red light. God got up. Boom! I got hit from the back. I said, Lord, whoever that is getting a message. So get out of the car, and it was a young lady. And she was crying. Oh, you know, she was crying. I said, look, don't cry. I'm a Bible-believing, born-again Christian. I love the Lord. And you don't have to cry. We'll work through this thing. And I looked at her bumper, and she looked at my bumper. And I said, why don't we just go? Make commitments to the Lord, folks. Set your goal, okay? And follow it. Or somebody might rear-end you to get your attention. Well, may the Lord bless you. I've been blessed by you young folks. And again, I say, you really don't know what you have. If you have a godly church, godly parents, I'll just tell you this yet. I had... We had a man in our congregation slid off the roof and fell on his head. And his three teenage sons never told their dad they love him. Never. Little did they know that when their dad left that morning that they're never going to see him again alive. Well, he lived a couple days. But I was with them boys as they stood around their dad, waiting to pull the plug. And their regret was, they never said, Daddy, I love you. One boy was a stone face. Looked ugly, looked mad, looked angry. The other two boys were crying out, saying they were sorry. And then I spoke at a Thanksgiving service a couple days later. And I said to the young people there, I said, young people, go to mom and dad. Tell them that you love them. Put your arms around and just bless them. And guess what? I went home from preaching that sermon and I got a call. Oh, then I should back up a little bit. I went to to the Thanksgiving service, and I told them what happened. So, the boys, I said, guys, go home and tell Dad you love him. Girls, go home and tell your mother you love him. And here, I preached a sermon, and I told what just happened. And guess what? 2 days later, I got a call that a father and a son were killed. They were in some kind of a tank where they were cleaning out, and it took the life of a son and his father. You don't love Jesus any more than you love your authorities. Okay? If you love Jesus, you're going to love your authorities. That's the scale that you go by measuring. So, God bless you all. Live for the Lord Jesus. And how many of you ever lived in the city? I got some here. I want to encourage more. God never intended everybody to live in Lancaster County. Okay. Or Berks County. He wants you to be in the city, okay? He really does. Yeah. No, I have a lot of stories, but I'll sit down.
About
10 minutes.
Yeah. 10 minutes.
Don't blame me now. Okay. Yeah. I want to say the blessing of living in the city. I like to be around people. I like to challenge people. I like to talk to them about the Lord. And the Lord has given us so many. I was an ordinary farmer boy in Lancaster County. I disliked the city with a passion. Okay, and you know that the Lord changed me. That I feel sorry now for people who do not live in the city. I really do. I know you might not agree with me, but I could take you to the field. I worked for Exeter School District as a groundskeeper, and I can take you to the spot in the field where the Lord said to me, Jay, you're the one that has to take the initiative to start a Christian school in Reading. If I would have said no, there would have been no Christian school in Reading. Okay? Now there's a Christian school there. When God speaks to you on that, like He did to Moses on the burning bush, you're on holy ground. And so God, I'll tell you a little bit about our program there in Reading. Open Gate, we have what we call Open Gate. We open up the gate. You've heard of another Open Gate. We have two Open Gates there. Open Gate is where we open up the gate, and anywhere from 70 to 130 children come in every Tuesday night. And these children, oh, they really want your attention. They'll pull off your veil. They'll kick you. They'll yell at you. They'll act like they hate you. And all they really want is your attention and your love, your attention. And then we have a crossover. Okay, crossover is the tough dudes. I was down there on Thursday night, just the other night. And these are the tough dudes. Long hair, pants half off, cap on wrong. They come in there, you know. And but they get the gospel, okay? We preach to them, and then they get to go play basketball. I'll just tell you this one. We had this one wild Amish. I hope you were not a wild Amish, but he was. He was a wild Amish. And over the time he was a wild Amish, he learned karate. And now he's saved. And I said to him, what? Are you ever tempted to use it, if you'd have to use it? Oh, he said, I really wouldn't want to do it. But by God's help and grace, I don't think I would. That very same day, I think the Lord was testing him. There's a guy come on our we have a gym there. A guy come on, and he was either drunk or high on drugs, okay? And he'd just walk across the court and do his own thing, you know, he's a cool guy. And this wild Amish, okay, went and put his arm around, he's not wild anymore, I should call him this converted Amish, put his arm around him, and led him to the door. And when he got to the door, this guy turned on him, turned on the born again Amish, okay. And the whole, everyone was shocked, okay, because his, guess what, the karate kicked in on him, and he regretted it. But this guy was on the floor looking up in just seconds, and he said to me afterwards, "Boy," he said, "I really didn't want to do it. I did it." I tell you what, folks, we have something more powerful than karate. We have something more powerful than the Supreme Court, than our president, than all politicians. We got a tremendous amount of power. We really do. And the Lord is saying, use that power. Go. And shortly after I was ordained, I was down in the basement of my house, and I met Jesus. Now, I don't put any stock in my dreams. Actually, almost zero, because I was dreaming last night again, come to think of it. Well, anyhow, but I don't put any confidence in them. Anyhow, this dream, I met Jesus, and I was crying. Oh, I was crying. And Jesus said to me, why are you crying? What's your problem? I said, I need power. I've been called to be a preacher, and I was a young man then yet. And boy, I did have a lot of fire in me when I was young. I still do, I think. But anyhow, he... I forgot what I was going to say about it. Well, anyhow, yeah. Pardon?
You were telling us about the dream. You were telling us about your dream.
Oh, my dream. Yeah. I met the Lord, and He said, here's all the power that you need. Just ask for it. He said, and I'm going to give it to you. I thought, whoa, can't go wrong with that, you know. Jesus wants to empower us with everything. Does anybody have any questions? Anything I said this morning that you disagree with or do agree? I don't mind. I would always tell my family, those at school, they may disagree with me. Always. But they may never disrespect me. When I was a young father, I said, I'm never going to yell at my children. I'm never going to punish them in anger. Never. And I'll tell you, that cost this old proud man a whole lot. I met my son Jason. I don't know if you know Jason. He sings in Garment of Praise. He's the bass singer. Anyhow, we had it out over something. And this was before Jason was married. And so we really had a good argument going. And Jason said to me, Dad, he said, you'll be back. And he turned around and walked off. I thought, oh boy. Did I ever do some praying to go back to Jason? Because I knew he was going to say, Dad, I knew you'd be back. I knew you'd be back. And that's exactly what happened. I went to Jason and said, Jason, I'm sorry. He said, Dad, I knew you'd be back. Oh, man. The Lord blessed us with 8 children, and my oldest daughter went to heaven. She died at 41. She had 5 children. And it was the hardest thing that the foxes went through, was to give up our lovely daughter who loved the Lord. And but the Lord called her home. Okay. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, we thank you for this day. I thank you, Lord, for these young people. And I pray, Lord, that you would be near to them. Help them, Lord, to live for the Lord Jesus. Help them to respect their authority over them, their parents, the police officer, who they work for. Father, just I thank you for them. Lord, I pray if there's someone here that's on the fence, Lord, that they would give their heart to you. Because one of these days, Lord, it's going to be over. And Lord, we do want to live for you. Lord, we want to tell you this morning that we love you. We appreciate so much all that you do. And Lord, thank you. So bless this, these youth as they go back into their homes. Lord, that they'd be a shining light for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening. We hope this message has blessed you. If you would like additional messages, please visit our website at ccfsermons.org. Call us at 855-55-CHARITY or write to us at Charity Christian Fellowship, 59 South Groffdale Road, Leola, PA, 17540. This ministry is supported by your donations. May Jesus Christ be Lord of all.